Well, chapter number 6 of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. I want you to pay particular attention tonight to the text itself. We'll come back to it in a moment, but I want to talk to you tonight on standing, withstanding, standing and standing. Sounds like double talk, doesn't it? But it is in reality, because that's exactly how Paul says it. Stand, withstand, stand, stand. Beginning at verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. How about that? When you've done everything you can do to stand, stand. Don't give up, keep on standing. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we're going to stand, withstand, stand and stand. Did you see it in the text? In verse number 11, stand. There we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, of us have any foggy idea what the wiles of the devil are? Trickery. As my brother said this morning, deceivableness. The devil is the great deceiver, isn't he? The deceiver of all mankind, all of us. Are pawns on Satan's board, and we can easily be deceived. And then down in verse number 13, we're to withstand. We're to be able to withstand in the evil day. There must be a day coming, evidently, when Paul writes this. That's called the evil day. Do you suppose it's on us? Let me say it to you like this. There is an evil day in every one of our lives. There's a time in every one of our lives where we'll face issues that are both evil and inescapable without the power of God. We would succumb to those things and fall. So we withstand in the evil day. And then, having done all to stand, use every bit of the energy you have. Put every bit of the effort into it that you possibly can, and stand. And then he said, stand, therefore. Stand because of what's beforehand, and stand because of what's coming after. Having your loins girt about with truth. Now this, of course, is the armor of the saint. None of us can get by in this world without this armor. A soldier that goes to battle without his armor is not going to be around long. In our day and time, the armor is quite a bit different than it has been in days gone by. Nowadays, they wear bulletproof vests. Some of them even have bulletproof uniforms that cover more of the body. But look at this, if you will, for a moment, and I'll get to where we're going after a while. But look at what he says here. Now, we are wrestling against powers, may I say to you, superpowers that reach even to heaven's gate. They're principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, and these things reach clear to heaven's gates. You're going to face issues in this world with satanic force until God brings you home to glory. How many of us have had a tremendous worship service? We've enjoyed the good presence of God and the power of God. We've experienced God move in our lives and in others' lives. And all of a sudden, hell throws a stump in the middle of our room. And here we are, tripped up, fighting a battle. We didn't have any idea we were going to come off that mountain and instantly enter that valley and fight this battle. Now, these are not battles that we fight with our hands. These are battles that we fight spiritually. And if you're not a spiritual being, you're not going to win these battles. You're going to become weaker and weaker all the time. Let me ask you a little question just between me, you, and the fence post and the Lord God Almighty. How many of us have lost some battles? The temptation has become so strong, or it was so immediate, it overtook us so quickly that we fell. Can you admit that you've done that? Amen. Were you proud of yourself when you did it? Oh no. Oh no. But all of us have come to that point in life. And all of us have had to come then to our knees and cry to God and ask His forgiveness. Because in the middle of our temptation, in the middle of this trial, let me say it to you like this, a temptation brings out the worst in us. You need to make a note of this. Temptation brings out the worst in you. Trials brings out the best in you. You see, Satan is at the root of temptation. God is at the root of trials. And the trials He doesn't send to destroy us. Satan sends temptation to destroy. God sends trials to develop. Quite a difference. God sends the trials that we might grow, be strengthened, and be able to fight another day. But Satan would send the temptation in order to destroy us, weaken us, so we cannot fight another day. Quite a difference, isn't it? When you get the right view of temptation, the right view of trials, you'll thank God for the trials. And you'll thank the good Holy Ghost for helping you through the temptation. Satan's power to weaken us is multiplied. And it reaches from heaven to earth. And from earth to heaven, wherever we are on that scale, by the way, it makes no difference how spiritual you are. If you're still in the flesh, then you can be tempted. My brother mentioned that fellow said to him he hadn't had any temptation, hadn't fallen to any temptation in how many years? He just fell to the temptation to lie. You fall into temptation. All of us have. All of us are tempted. You can't live in the world we live in tonight and not be tempted. If you can, you're deaf, blind, dumb, dead. You can't escape this mess. But thank God for power to overcome it. Thank God for the armor that God gives us. How do we stand? We have to stand girded. We have to stand with the armor upon us. Look again at the text. These principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, I said it reaches all the way to the gates of glory. Take the armor of God. Put it on. Now look at how this armor is spelled out. When we put on the armor, the loins, that's the strength of a man. Loins are girded with truth. Nothing greater than truth to fight a battle with. Do you know why we've lost the culture war? And do you know why we've lost the war to foreign entities in America? Because our politicians wouldn't name what it is. Hello. We're afraid we're going to offend somebody. You're living in a world when people don't know what they are, don't know what they want to be called. We have a class of people that I could rattle off five or six names for them right now, and they don't like either one of them. But we've lived in a world that we've compromised everything we are. We've took off the armor, laid it down, and decided we're not going to fight. We're going to be peaceful. Now, you can't be peaceful with the devil. Look up here at me. Listen to me carefully. You cannot be peaceful with the devil. You can't live a peaceful life with the devil on your heels. There's going to be warfare. You're going to fight. There's going to be spiritual battles that you'll wrestle as though you were involved in it fisticuffs. You'll sweat and you'll strain spiritually to win this battle. But you win. That's the great thing about it. You win. Often God's people weaken to the point to where they think, well, we just can't win. You've heard me say, you've heard your pastor say that Joshua and Ephesians are the two books in your Bible that coincide with each other as far as the claiming of the land where Joshua's concerned and claiming the promises where Ephesians is concerned. When I think of this, I think of one man in the Old Testament economy that was Joshua's buddy. You remember his name? Caleb. Now, Caleb was promised by Moses a portion of the land because he and Joshua were the only two of the spies who came back with a good report. And when Caleb asked Joshua for the land, he didn't say, I want the meadows and the springs and the brooks. He's 85 years old. Did you hear that? 85 years old. And he said himself, my strength is not abated. I'm as able to go out and come in to war as I was back then. And he said, I want that mountain. But Caleb, don't you understand that the Anakims live there? Those are the sons of the giants. The giants live on that mountain. It's what we know today as Hebron or Hebron. And Caleb said, I want that mountain. Now you'd think he'd pick one, 85 years old. You'd think he'd pick a place where he wouldn't have to do battle. But not so. Not at all. That mountain had caught his glimpse. And he said, that's what I want. Now further on we find that Caleb ridded the mountain of the Anakims. Slew them. Ran them out. 85 years old. How would you like to be a giant and an 85-year-old man come by and run you out of your house? I'll bet that's some sad-feeling giants. They didn't have any bragging room, did they? Oh, no. An 85-year-old man run me out of my house. Bless their darling little hearts. But you see, Caleb was ready to do battle for what God had promised him. Are you listening to me? The saint of God is to be ready to do battle for what God has promised us. And we put on the armor, gird ourselves with truth. Let me ask you something. Is Orphan Annie true? How about Superman? No. What's the truth he's speaking of? Right here, this book. Gird yourself with the truth. What did Jesus fight the devil with? The devil said, it is written. He tried to use the book. But Jesus said, it is also written. How about that? The devil said, it's written. Jesus said, it's also written. There's more to it than what you're saying. And there always is, isn't there? Satan never gives us the whole story. He just gives us a little tidbit to make us fall. Jesus said there's more to it than that. Gird yourself with truth. Then, not only are we to gird ourselves about with truth, but we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, Paul is a Roman. Let me correct some fallacies that have been put across to people down through the years. Paul is a Roman. He's not a Greek. He's a Roman. The Roman breastplate was opened on the side and the soldier stepped into it and closed it together. It protects not only the breast, but the back as well. Now let me tell you something. You've heard preachers say there's no protection for your back, and if you're running away, Satan's darts are going to kill you. Well, the problem is that's not so. You just put her down. God's little young'uns are protected. God leaves nothing to chance. And even when you're playing coward and running away, God still has you protected. You're His, not theirs. You're His. Let me just ask you something. How many of us have turned and ran from time to time and He was still there, still protecting us? That kind of destroys that little theory, doesn't it? But I've heard that for years. And I got to thinking one day, that just can't be so. So I begin to study and look at the breastplate of the Roman army. You've seen them. Oh yeah, they're protected front and back. We'll talk about the only place that's not protected in a few moments with the armor, but it's still protected, as you shall see. Now in verse number 15, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Listen to me. It is not the gospel of peace. It is the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means that there's more to this battle than just sitting around. You prepare for it. The Korean War came along. And when it did, America called up hundreds of thousands of young men, put them through a few weeks of rush training and send them to war. They died like flies. They weren't prepared to do battle. They froze to death. They weren't prepared for the climate. Now listen to me. If you're going to do battle with the devil, you're going to have some preparation beforehand. You don't just meet up with the enemy and say, "Come on, big guy." Oh, no. You better know what you're doing, and you better have something to fight with. So prepare for the battle. We'll talk about preparing in a moment. Come on with me. Now he says, above all. These other things are rather primary. But now comes some senior things. Above all. How about that? Above all. This stands out. Above all, he said. Now watch this. Taking the shield of faith. Now what's the shield for? To quench the fiery darts of the devil. Now what in the world about a shield quenches the fiery darts? Most of the shields of the warriors were not metal. They were rawhide, stretched tightly over a frame. They were light. The ones who carried the shields would go before. But those who had to do battle had to have lighter shields. And so they were made from rawhide, stretched extremely tight. tough enough to withstand the darts. However, the night before battle, the soldiers would take their shields and lay them in water overnight. The next day when they went to battle, those fiery darts would hit those shields and go, because the water in the shield destroyed the fire. Did I say something about preparation a while ago for the battle? The fight is on, friends. And if you're not willing to fight, you're going to fall by the wayside. Someone said to me the other day, why are we seeing the decline in church going in our day and time? There are two reasons. Number one, nothing's happening. And 90% is because nothing's being done. Nothing's being said. Look at me. Are you looking at me? I wouldn't go to church in most places because they're not saying anything. Nothing's being taught. Nothing's being preached. They're talking about everything in the world but the truth. The truth is essential for God's little children to fight the battle. You can't do it on jokes and tomfoolery. So we take the shield now of faith and quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse number 17, the helmet of salvation. Glory. A lot of things I need to say here. I'm just going to say a few. Listen carefully. If you listen fast, I'll say it fast. Number one, God deals with your mind when He saves you. We call it heart. The Bible calls it heart. But you and I both know it's not the blood pump. It's the mind God's dealing with. God begins to turn your mind toward Himself and changes your mind about a multitude of things, doesn't He? Oh yeah. And saves you by His grace. There is a war for your mind tonight. Satan wants your mind. Satan is gaining the mind of our offspring. We've lost a generation to hullabaloo that we don't know a thing in the world about, can't even understand most of it. But they know what it's all about. Satan is out to poison the mind of our youth. By the way, most parents are falling to that poison as well because their little children are telling them everybody else is doing it. And mom and dad don't want to be the only ones that aren't letting their children do it. Hello? And so the minds of mom and dads are poisoned now. And here we are. The helmet of salvation covers our mind, our brain, and God Almighty helps us to be thinking on the good things of God rather than the things of this world. If you want to go stark raving mad, you just try to keep up with this world. But if you'd like to be sane for a while, just station your mind on the things of God. Things that are real, things that are going to come to pass. Not vain promises and broken down whatever. God has guaranteed us some things. They're going to take place. They will happen. According to the plan of God, God said it's going to happen. Look at it. It's going to happen. But Satan is out to deceive us. God gives us the helmet of salvation to cover our minds and keep us locked in to truth. the sword of the Spirit. Here is our real thought for tonight. The sword of the Spirit. Here is our only offensive weapon. Everything else defends us, but this is our offense. When Satan starts beating up on you, here is your sword. Use the sword. Learn to use it skillfully. You're a child of God. You have a promise. God has given you a sword, placed it in your hand. We are of all people most blessed. Down through the ages, the saints of God didn't have a copy of the sword. This is far greater than King Arthur's sword. This is Excalibur beyond Excalibur. This is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Listen to me. This book in the hands of the Spirit of God will win every single time. Amen. It may not win in your hands, but in the hands of the Spirit. Glory. You need to sit back and watch this fight every once in a while. Did you ever do that? Have you ever just sit back and watch the Holy Ghost take the Word of God and just hew the devil into bits? Win the battle? Show you that God's real? Let you see exemplary. See that God is real. He's not just a figment of a man's imagination. He's God. And this book, in the hands of the Spirit of God. Glory. What a marvelous work it is. What a glorious privilege it is to carry the sword. And to know that God's Holy Ghost uses the words, are you listening? The words in this book to conquer the enemy, destroy the enemy, and encourage the saints. Nothing encourages a saint like the Word of God. Nothing. Now watch this, and I'll bring it to a close. Praying. Always. Remember, I told you that there's a part of your anatomy that's not covered by the armor. There are no shin guards. Read it carefully. There are no shin guards. Why are there no shin guards? We're doing battle. Why are there no shin guards? Paul just told us what it is. When a saint is on his knees in that armor he's covered, on his knees praying, thank God for prayer. We make far too little of it. Thank God for prayer. Watch how he says this. And God leading us, and we deal with this on Wednesday night, we're going to come right back to this verse. Listen, praying always with all prayer and supplication. How long he said pray? Always. Stay in a spirit of prayer. Now you know and I know we get to the point a lot of times we know we can't pray because we're so aggravated with the things of this world and so upset. And if the devil can keep you there, he'll keep you off your knees. When Satan starts hounding you, the best thing in the world for you to do is go to your knees. Start praying. Talking to God. Praying always. With all supplication. And notice how he says this. Notice the little prepositional phrase, in the Spirit. Our prayers should never be anything but spiritual praying. Did you ever go to the table and ask the blessing? And be shouting before you ever eat? You say, preacher, I never experienced that. You ought to experience it sometime. When you bow your head and the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, it's a different world. Things change instantly. It's not the way it was a moment ago. You forget about whether the bread's getting cold or not. The potatoes will be cold before you get through shouting. It takes a while for a potato to get cold. You know that, don't you? It'll all be cold. It won't make a bit of difference. Because you've had something to eat, that's a whole lot better than what's on that table. Do you know most people I know have never experienced anything just like I talked about? They never have. Some time back, we were sitting at the table with another preacher. It came time to ask the blessing. He said, Mama, ask the blessing over the food for us. Well, she said, Heavenly Father, and I knew, she knew who she was talking to. And it just felt like to me that God leaned over the balcony of heaven, kind of cupped his hand. One of my little young'uns is talking to me. I forgot about where I was. Forgot about what was going on. I got to shout and rejoice. The prayer was over. I said, would you mind praying again? I didn't care whether the food was good or not. Not too long ago, I was at Cracker Barrel with a preacher friend. We sat down to eat. The little girl brought our food. And I said, do you know the Lord Jesus? She said, I sure do. I said, would you like to ask the Lord's blessing over our food? She said, I'd love to. I'm telling you, this happened right here in Johnson City. She bowed her head and began to pray. Whew. And I began to rejoice and shout. Woo! Are you listening to me? When you pray, you need to pray spiritual prayers. Prayers that touch your heart as well as the heart of God. Prayers that change things. Prayers that make a difference. But too often we're in too big a hurry. And here's the mode over most of our meals. God is great. God is good. And we thank Him for the food. Now you may not be saying it that way, but basically that's what you're saying. By His hands we all are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. But we're not thanking God for anything. We're just repeating words. Just words. And oft times it's that way, isn't it? But every once in a while, a little drop of honey from another world will drop in to where you are. And when it does, you'll be grateful that God gave you the privilege to pray. Praying all way. Father, I sure appreciate your mercy tonight. What a blessing it's been. I pray for my brother tonight. Give him strength, spiritual power to preach. Use him for thy glory. Lord, in this place, I pray for every soul here. Whatever their need, whatever the concerns, whatever it may be, I pray for them. And oh God, again I pray that you'll make us spiritual people. I want to be a spirit man, a Holy Spirit man, a Holy Ghost man. I want these people to be Holy Ghost people. Let it be so. In all of our hearts, let it be so.